was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, Jesus to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love, out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, John chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible, there, as Brother Serge mentioned in the offering verse, there is a Bible in front of you there in the holder there. If you'd like to take that and turn with me to John chapter number 3. What is my desire this morning is to finish or to continue with the message that we preached last Sunday morning as we come to this area of Scripture. It's probably one of the most familiar Scriptures in the Bible that I'm sure that people who have been in church of any time know a lot about this verse or this area. I want to share some things again. I believe that we've been blessing to you as we're dealing with an area here of the Lord speaking to Nicodemus. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 3. And the title of the message, as we titled it last Sunday, as you see as we read down through there, Nicodemus asked a question, how can these things be? Amen. And what we desired last Sunday, we want to do this morning, is to finish up with that, because he asked a question because of the answer that God had given him about the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
If you would, in John chapter 3, and starting in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of God is of the Spirit, spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And while it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, bless now this time and this hour as we come before you to empty ourselves of self. Fill me with your Spirit that I might speak, thus saith the Lord. God, I pray that you would just bless this message this morning in a special way. And Lord, if there be someone here this morning that just maybe just like this young man, Nicodemus, that came to Jesus, but they can receive the same answer of assurance of knowing that heaven will be their home, I pray that they would make that decision for you this morning before it's eternally too late. We do praise you and thank you for our pastor. We pray for him and his family this morning. We pray for those that are traveling. God, we pray that you be with him tonight as he preaches there in Atlanta. But then tonight, today, Lord, as we gather here in this place, God, we know that there are many needs. And I pray that you meet the needs through your word and may it be done your way. And may you do a work in the hearts and lives of people here this morning. We praise you and thank you for being God, for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, and that we can believe in him this morning and have the eternal life that only Jesus Christ can give. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And as we go into the message, Brother Steve and Tony is going to sing a special for us, and we'll come back and we'll conclude with the things we want to share with you this morning.
He dreamed he stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside the holy race and did not faint. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul. And the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels. These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of them who called upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith. And oh, he leapt up from his knees. Oh, I can go in with these, and I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Oh, we thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised. But as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise. And they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can go in.
Thank you, Tony, and Brother Steve. I guess the trio is going to be broken now. Doctor and his pastor said, Doctor and his pips. Amen. Steve is going to be leaving us here in a few months, a few weeks now. He's getting closer. He's going to be leaving, moving up there to Northern California. But we appreciate him and all that he's done here in our midst. Amen. You know, last week we talked about this area of Scripture. And I just want to highlight some things that I hope this morning, just to kind of those that weren't with us, so you get an understanding of where we were or what we talked about, to give you a better understanding, to help you to understand this area and why we chose this area, because I believe it's a great need today in our society. And if we would turn back to what has been the heart of our country, I believe it would make a difference in our society. And just like this man Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, our society is filled with a lot of religion today. And people want to believe in whatever it is that they want to believe and believe that that would get them where they need to be. But as I think about this area of Scripture and coming back to this again this morning, Nicodemus wanted to know, how could these things be? As Jesus explained to him, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And if we go back to John chapter number 2, as we shared with you last Sunday, and here we see in John chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem, it was talking about Jesus, at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and need not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know, it's ironic that we would look at this and you think that it sounds good on paper, that they would say that when Jesus was there at the Feast of the Passover, there were many that believed, but really they believed in Jesus because they believed in the miracles that he was doing. And see, in our society today, we want to believe in Jesus if he's doing what we want him to do, or we're benefiting from the blessings of God and the things that he's doing because they're going to benefit us. And the miracles that he was performing, they were glad to be there and see those things and take part in it and benefit from them. I don't know about you, if somebody was feeding 5,000 and he did that, or somebody was giving away something that you could partake of and receive it, I'm sure you would be excited about it too, and you would believe in that person. But the thing about it that's ironic, that is so tragic, is that he didn't believe in them, because the scripture says he did not commit unto them, because Jesus knew their hearts. They were only there along for the ride. And our society today is we all for Jesus as long as we can benefit from what Jesus does. But when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, it wasn't because he was excited about the miracles, but Nicodemus wanted to know something about how can these things be that you are talking about, and no man could do the things that you do except you be sent from God. In other words, he was God, and he was sent from God because he was God. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus knew Nicodemus's heart. It was the fact that Jesus knew Nicodemus's heart that Jesus went right to the matter that was at heart, and the matter at hand was not the miracles, Nicodemus. It's the gospel that you need to hear. It's your need of understanding what the gospel is. You need to understand, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And verily, verily, I say it to you, not only can he, if he cannot see the kingdom of God, but he must be born again, he cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus was introducing the gospel to Nicodemus because Nicodemus needed the gospel. And we can talk to people and we can tit for tat for what we think. We can tit for tat for this. We can look to the White House. We can look to the Blue House. We can look to the house across the road. Yes, but you know what? The greatest answer to our society today and what's going to change the hearts and lives of people today in this society, it's going to be the gospel.
That's right, Pastor White.
It's going to be the gospel. Because it's not the material need. It's not the physical need. It's the spiritual need. And see, Jesus knew that Nicodemus had a spiritual need. It wasn't the physical need. It was the spiritual need. See, the miracles can come and go. But one of the greatest miracles that ever take place in a life, that'll change a life, is understanding that you're lost and you're on your way to hell and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what's going to make a difference. And what he was telling them about was a new life that only can be experienced through knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. This new life was a dynamic life. This new life was a divine life. And when I say it's dynamic, it's going to change your life. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I guarantee you, you're not the same. And if you're still the same, then did it didn't happen in your life the way that it ought to. Because when I got saved, it changed my life. December the 6th, 1986, I was in Terre Haute, Spain, where Pastor Kraft came to my house. He opened the Bible. He showed me how I needed to be saved. He asked me this question: if you die today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? And I said, no. I didn't tell him about my religious credentials. I didn't tell him where I was born. Born in an old town, little town in North Carolina. I didn't tell him about that. I didn't tell him about how much I went to church. I didn't tell him about my baptism. I didn't tell him where I was baptized. I didn't tell him about my grandma. I didn't tell him about my grandpa. I won't try to live on them. I told him I was lost. I did not know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. He said, well, let me take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. When Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus, that's basically what Jesus was doing with Nicodemus. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he inquired. Jesus introduced it to him. And then Jesus talked about his ignorance because Nicodemus was ignorant of the truth. He says, how can these things be? Can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time? And as we said last Sunday, I don't know how many of you ladies sitting here want your grown son or your one-year-old or your six-month-old or your 80-year-old to enter back into your womb. That would be physically impossible. So it tells me Nicodemus was ignorant because Jesus wasn't talking about the physical. He was talking about the spiritual.
That's right, Pastor White.
The spiritual life that only a person can experience is through Jesus Christ. So Nicodemus' ignorance was what was prevailing in his life. Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time?
Wow.
He was carnalizing it. You know what? One of the things that happened in our society today so much is when you tell people the truth, they always want to come back with some carnality.
Yeah, they do, Pastor. They
do. Or what I think. Or what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's this. Or it's that. But you know what? It can be this, what you think. It can be that, what you think. But it don't change the gospel. It don't change the message. Jesus said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see. He cannot see, he won't enter into the kingdom of God. And let me tell you today, it's not about religion. You know what religion is doing to people today? Religion is sending people to hell.
relationship with Jesus Christ sends people to heaven. That's what you want to be today. You want to be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is sending people to hell. And what Nicodemus was doing, he was rejecting the truth. Jesus said, we have tell you of the things that we know and that we believe and that we have seen, and you reject it. And people today still want to reject Jesus Christ because they say, I don't believe that. I don't believe the word of God. You don't have to believe it. Believe me, you don't have to believe it, but it does not change the fact. It is still true. It was true when Jesus was sharing it with Nicodemus, and it's true today. And you don't have to believe me, but I tell you this. If you close your eyes in this world without Jesus Christ, there ain't no purgatory. There ain't no holding place. You're going to end up in heaven with him, or you're going to end up in a place called hell. And that was not God's intent. And God was educating Nicodemus on this truth. And I want to educate you this morning. Nicodemus needed to be saved. You know what? I said it last Sunday, and it says in verse 8, when the wind blow, we don't know, we can't see the wind, but we can see the results of the wind. And when a person has been born again, you can see the change in that person's life. I'm telling you, you can see it. I don't know what the Spirit looked like, but I tell you what, I know what the fruit of the Spirit is, and it'll change your life. It'll change lives, and it's still changing lives. And you cannot like it. You can lump it wherever way you want. And I'm just going to be just as kind as I can to tell you that it's the truth and it will not change. And you don't have to believe me. You can doubt God's word and it won't change a fact. Jesus still died for your sin and for mine. And we left off here talking about the inquiry, the introduction, the ignorance. We talked about the illustration. He says, just as Moses, let me read it to you because it's so important that we understand this, because if I don't, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Amen. Look at verse number 8. And he says, the wind blow where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's what happens. That's the dynamics of that life that takes place in a person's life. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He wanted to know. And I believe many people today want to know, how can these things be, Pastor? How can it be so simple? Yet it's not simple. It has a great magnification to it if you really understand it. I had an opportunity yesterday, and I'm not bragging on me. I'm like Brother Hall. I don't deserve to take this Bible and show somebody how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I thank God somebody thought enough of me. Old sinner needed to be saved by the grace of God, and he took the Bible and showed me. Didn't rest it in Pastor Kraft. I rested my hope in this book because God's word is true. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we might live a righteous life, but we got to get into the right relationship to live this life that Jesus Christ was talking about. And we talked about it. Look at what Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? In other words, Jesus was challenging his ignorance, because you can be in the highest position in the society. You can be the president of the United States. But if Obama don't know Jesus Christ, Hillary Clinton or whatever the other one name is, if they don't know Jesus Christ the Savior, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell, because it doesn't change your position. But we all have the same privilege that the Jews had, because we got the word of God. He said, I can't believe you're dead ignorant and you got the word of God. You're a master teacher and you still don't know the truth. But it don't change it. Boy, I didn't intend to get that wound up this morning. Woo! But I tell you what, he went on to answer Nicodemus. He says, verily, verily, I say and speak that which I know and testify we have seen and have received, and you receive not our witness. In other words, you're rejecting the truth. You refuse to hear the truth. And there are some of you sitting here this morning that may not know Christ the Savior. You can reject me. You can refute it. You can rebuke it, but it won't change the fact. And you don't have to believe me. But Jesus is still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he ain't changed. And he goes on in verse 12. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You know what? You can't even understand the simplicity of what a birth is and understand what a spiritual birth is. And I had a glorious honor yesterday of showing this young lady how when you get saved, you got a birthday when you're born physically, and then you got a birthday when you've been born spiritually. If you haven't been born twice in this world, one physical and one spiritual, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You'll never see it. You can deny it, but you'll never see it. So he tells him this, and you refuse it. And he says, and in verse 13, and no man have seen, have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, you want to know that who I am? I'm Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. That ain't changed. I'm telling you about my position. I'm telling you about my pre-existence, because when it all started, when God created the heavens and the earth, he says, let us. And I was part of that us. And he was there. And there's no doubt. Because he is part of the Trinity. And that's what he's talking about. You know what? We sit here and we judge Nicodemus. And we said if Jesus came and spoke to us, we wouldn't have no problem with it. It might change our lives. But I'm telling you something this morning. He's speaking to you this morning. Because we're going to preach the word. And the word stands on its own. As the Bible stands. We can believe what the Bible says. You don't have to believe what I said. Because the Bible says. He came down from heaven to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. God couldn't have did it any better. And like I was telling that lady yesterday, when it comes to the gospel, Jesus Christ on the blood of Calvary shed on the cross makes it all level. It doesn't make no difference whether you're black, whether you're blue, whether you're green, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile. All of us can come to the cross. All can come to the cross. You must come to the cross. And he's explaining this to Nicodemus. And as he talked about the serpent in the wilderness, boy, I didn't intend to get this long. Let me try to move on. And he says in this, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, when he told Moses about the serpent, what Jesus was saying, when the serpent came because of their ignorance, because of their refusal, because of their corruption, because they did not want to believe who he was, and they were arguing and complaining about God. And we're doing it in our society today. We're in the corruption. We don't believe. And there's a curse on us, and the curse is sin. And when Jesus told them to lift that serpent up on the venom on the cross, he had no venom. But before he went there, they were biting the people, and they were biting them is a picture of what sin is doing in the hearts and lives of people. It defiles you. It brings death. And the only way that you can be cured is to look to that serpent that was lifted up, and Jesus Christ the same way got to be high and lifted up. And if you want the cure is in the cross where Jesus died. The serpent was a replica of what was going to take place. And you got to look to Jesus the same way that they look. And those that look, live. And those that looked away, they died in their sins and they're in a devil's hell. And today, if you don't look to Jesus, you're going to die in your sin. And the place that you're bound for is hell. I ain't sugarcoating it. I ain't trying to make it easy schism because it's believism. No, it's because it's the truth. It's the truth. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I tried to sugarcoat it. Because I'm glad nobody sugarcoated for me. He told me the truth. And the truth set me free. And I'm free today indeed because of what Christ did. And he says, that's the cure. You want to think, you wonder what happened. This world today is defiled in sin. People do what they do because they're victims of sin. But Jesus' love will cure that heart, that life, and change it forever. I was telling her yesterday, the Bible is still true. You think about it today. There's over 70 billion people in the world. And I'm told that every second there's a child born. But also every second, there's a person that died. Think about it. 70 billion people. And all those before that 70, Jesus died for. And all the 70 that live today that we can count a second just ticked off so that number may change, he died for. And everyone that's born after that, he died for. Because he loved them. He loved them so much that he gave his life so that you might have eternal life. So the illustration is there, but the inspiration is there because of God's love. That's how it can be, because of God's love for you. Folks, there's about 10 things that I wanted to show you in John chapter 3 and verse 15. We'll never get to it.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Today, and I live to tell about it. But I tell you what, John 3:16, you can't exhaust it. I can only scratch the surface. But his love is such a magnitude that he did it for you. You know what? I've been told, and I believe, if you'd been the only sinner in this world, Jesus would have still came and died for you. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Because he loved us. He demonstrated. I want to, y'all just bear with me. Because if I don't, I don't know if I ever get to finish this message. But I want you to just, I just want to scratch the surface. If you can just scratch the surface. And God, I don't mean to do you any injustice. But I want people to know today that you are the reason, the inspiration of the gospel, this new birth. That's how it can be when you think about this in this great extent. And the proclamation that we find in John 3:16. Y'all hold on, because I'm going to give it to you. Amen. Because I want you to understand it. When we think about the proclamation of God's love, the inspiration in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The proclamation of God's love. It was unexpected by man. Amen. Nobody expected Jesus to come and die on the cross. Nicodemus didn't either, because if he did, he would have recognized who he was. So it's unexpected. Amen. It's unequal in religion. No religion can claim the blood of Jesus Christ. When you go to the tomb where Muhammad or Islam or wherever they're born, their bones are still there. When you go to the grave where Jesus was, it's empty. It's unequal. It's unexplained, because the effect of what happens in a person's life when they've been born again, that's the proclamation of it. It has an unusual effect, because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 5 and verse 17, his brother Sir says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are to become new. When you've been born again, when he says you're a new creature, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. I better stay up here, because if I don't, I won't ever get finished. Amen. I'm going to try. So I want you to understand it was a proclamation. But also understand the pattern, because notice when I say the pattern, he's talking about, look at verse 14. He says, as Moses was lifted up when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, so as the serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the so is important. You know, when God's word, when you think about it, everything about it is important. Amen. So we see the proclamation, but the pattern is just like he died on the cross, Christ died on the cross. Or he was hung on the cross, the serpent, Jesus Christ was on the cross the same way, fulfilling the will of his Father, that they would look to him, because he is the only answer. Just like they had to look to the serpent on the cross, if they believe in faith, that is the key, they live. And if they didn't, they die. Because Bible tells us by faith are we saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to ever stand before God and boast about what they did. Let me tell you this way. If you could work for it, how would you ever know that you got enough? Most of us working today, and you ask them if we got enough in our bank account, we said, no, we still want another dollar. Well, let me tell you, when it comes to salvation and going to heaven, you can't put enough in the bank. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That'll get you to heaven. That's how simple it is. That's the simplicity of it, but it's the magnitude of it that we need to understand it. Amen. So we see the pattern is so. But the passion of this so is that no other affection has ever been shown towards somebody than that of Jesus Christ. He was passionate in his love for us when he came and died for us. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His commending love. It's unequal, folks. I'm just scratching the surface. When we think about the pattern, when we think about the passion, when we think about the proclamation, when we think about the persistence of God's love. Notice what it says, and it says here, the persistence of God's love. He says he loved. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved, and it's persistence. You know, it serves for the present tense, and it serves for the past tense. The same 70 million that was before this existing and the ones after, he still loves them. Just like he loves those in the past, he loves those in the present, and he's going to love those in the future because his love is persistent, and God is love. I like what Romans 8 and verse 38 says this, for I'm persuaded, I got persuaded that day, folks, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing's going to separate us from that love. Nothing's going to separate us. But I like this. Not only do we see it exists in the past, but it exists in the present when he say that he loved, because God is love. And notice the parameter of God's love. He says in verse 16, for God so loved the world. In other words, that 70 or 80 million, that mankind, he loves the entire world. You know, we do good when we say we love somebody. We might love, Jeff, can you get that up? Somebody get that. It's just water. If you love somebody, the greatest thing that we could ever do is love our children. We might can love our neighbors. We can love our kinfolks, as we said in North Carolina. You can love the people that you work with. You can love your children. But when you think about the magnitude of God's love, he loved the entire world. You and I haven't even begun to love. And sometimes when we look at this world and all that's going on, and if you're just like me and honest with yourself, how could God love them? But yet he does. Aren't you glad? Because when he got you, if you are his child, it ain't like he got nothing special. If we be honest with ourselves, because apart from Jesus Christ, I'm nothing but a sinner saved by the grace of God. And if you don't know him, let me tell you, you're just a step below, because until you get saved, you really become something. You become a child of God. You become a child of the King. But if you're not, then you're not a child of the King. Amen. You're a child of the devil. You're either living for God or you're living for the prince of this world. And the prince of this world is the devil. He's wreaking havoc over all of our society. But the grace of God is available to all that will receive it. And what I like about this cross, and what I liked about it, I said last Sunday about this pole, you know what? It was where everybody could see it. The cross is not hidden today, folks. You may not see it physically, but the existence of it is still there. It's still changing lives. I may not see that serpent, but I know what it stood for. I may not see that cross, but I know what it stands for. And whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see the parameter of it. He loves the whole world. It's persistent. I'm glad it never ends. Not only did you see the parameter, but the proof he gave. Notice what it says here, that he gave. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not only did he give when we see it, but it's the proof of God's love. True love gives. You can't give, or let me say it this way. One can give and not love, but one cannot love and not give. I thought about this. My wife and I, we celebrated our 35th anniversary. Most of y'all know that. 35 years that I put up with her. Amen. She didn't hear me. You know, and brother, I met my wife when she was in sixth grade. Let's say seven. She said, honey, don't go way back there. But it was about seventh grade. And when we grew up, when you say you love somebody, you always bought them something. I gave her a ring. And let me say, I didn't get it from Jared. Y'all catch that? I couldn't afford Jared. I went to Roses. Y'all don't know where Roses is either, do you? But that's all I could afford. But what I was doing, I was expressing my love to her. And see what God's doing in his expression of his love to us. He gave his son. And not only did he give his son, he gave his only begotten son. The only one that he had. The only one that exists. The only one that has a purpose. He gave it for you and I because he loved us. And you know, and we pass the offering tray around and most people won't give anything. Hold on. Because when you love him, you give to him. Because one of our ways to express how we love God, and the least we ought to do, is give him what he owed. And that is only the 10% of what he's blessed us with. All right, preacher, get away from that. But it's true. But it is true. Because when you love something, the object that you love, you're going to give to it. You're going to give something to it. You're going to give it your time. You're going to give it your treasure. Or you're going to give it your talent. I gave her that ring. I don't know where it is today. But it was my expression of my love to her. As only I could do. And God did it for us. Because that was the only thing he could do that would satisfy him in love for us. In spite of our sin, God still loved us. And he's commending his love to us to show us how much he loves us. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we think about it this way, that not only we see the proof of it, but we see also the price. His only begotten son. If you love much, you give much. If you love a little, you give a little. God's love, God gave his only begotten son, which is true love, and it is wise. Because you think about it this way. When God gave, his love is not blind and it's not stupid. Love gets the right gift for the right one who he loves. Let me say it again. When love gives, it gives the right gift at the right moment for the right reason at the right time. When Jesus stepped out of glory and came to this earth and died on the cross for your sin and for mine, it was exactly the gift that we need. And it was at the right time. It was for the right purpose for sinful man. And he gave us exactly what we needed. You can't love any better than that. You couldn't give any better than that. But he did. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Man, I'm going to tell you, folks, when I was studying this out this week, I could not believe. When you really think about that verse, and I'm only scratching the surface of God's love for a lost and dying world on its way to hell, and he wants to prevent that. Why would you turn away? Why would you not receive Christ the Savior? He did it for you. He did it for you. And you know what? Let me just take you down to Romans road. Romans 3:10 says this. It says there's none righteous. No, not one. There's not a one of us apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says that's righteous. Romans 6:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We're all born sinners. When Adam did what he did, he plunged all of us into sin. But when God did what he did, he made it possible that we could come back into a right relationship with him. Because we're all sinners. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. We're all dead in trespasses and sin. For the wages of sin is death and hell and separation from God for all eternity. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So there's a wage, there's a penalty that somebody had to pay. And the wages, Jesus Christ took it upon himself. I told that young lady yesterday, 70 million, billion, not million, billion people. And you think these people that did the slaying and the killing that took place in the society here in the last few months or the last few days or however you want to lump it up, all of that was placed on Jesus Christ for 70 billion plus people. It was such a horrible thing that God turned his back on his son. He says, not my will, but thine will be done. But it goes on. It don't stop there. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. That but, that conjunction, that but is good. That but will save your soul. But the gift of God is eternal life. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. He said we're not saved by works. No man is ever going to stand before him boast about what work he did. The work was done on the cross that satisfies a holy God. But the gift of God is eternal life. A gift is not something that you work for. If I gave Lottie and held it out and said, Lottie, this is a present. I want you to have it. Now, as long as I hold it in my hand, it's a present. See, the life that's in Jesus Christ is a present to everyone who would take it. But what Lottie has to do when I hold it out in her presence, she has to receive it. And until Lottie takes hold of it, it's still a present. But it becomes a gift when she receives it. Same way with Jesus Christ. See, he can't be yours until you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior of your life. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, how do I receive it? Romans 10:9. You know, in Romans 10:1, Paul says, my greatest desire is that Israel would be saved. My greatest desire for you this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, is that you would get saved. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I can't confess for you. He says, if thou, that means you have to confess that Jesus Christ is God. He died on the cross for your sin. You are a sinner. You need to be saved. You ask for forgiveness of your sin. And that's how you receive him. It's not something taken lightly because he's a holy God. And you have to repent. In other words, you're going this way, which is going to take you to hell. But you got to repent and turn in the opposite direction and go to the cross, because that's where you got to go in order to be saved, is to go to the cross of Calvary. And it'll change your life. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, you got to believe it in your heart. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have to come to Jesus Christ by faith and rest in what he's already done for you and for me. There's no difference, verse 13, between the Jew or the Greek of Romans 10. But the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I'm glad there's enough of it to go around.
Amen.
To all that call upon him. And then it just personalizes it. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, that's the gospel in a nutshell. But you know what? You can rest on your laurels. You can rest on your pride. You can rest on your religion. It won't change. The Bible says what it says. Christ did what he did. It ain't gonna change. But what you have to do is accept what Jesus did by faith. In other words, that's what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Your religion is going to send you to hell. And that's what religion does. And what you need to do is receive him, because many have rejected him. And you may leave here this morning and know in your heart of hearts, you didn't got to do it for me, that you're not saved. And you can reject the truth. And Jesus couldn't explain it any simple. I don't believe it can be explained any other much simpler. But if you like, I have somebody take the Bible and go over it with you and explain to you maybe just a little bit simpler. Because I don't want you to leave here without Jesus Christ if you don't know him. Because that's what Jesus wanted when Nicodemus walked away. I tell you what, in the country we said you get a bucket full, he got a wash tub full with no wringer. But he filled him up. What about you this morning? How can these things be? They can be because of God's great love and God's great love for you, because he loves you. And he don't want you to die and go to the devil's hell. It was never God's intent. So what did he do? He sent his son so he can bring us back in a right relationship with him because of his love. That's how it can be. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for today. We thank you so much for your great love. God, I pray that you forgive me for not doing this area the justice that is due. Lord, in my finite mind, I never can understand how you love me so much. Not just me, but you love this entire world. And God, you love every one of us that's sitting under the sound of my voice, whether it be here in this auditorium or whether it be those out in the foyer or those in the nursery. You died for all of us, and not just us, but for this entire world. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take these words from this finite mind and speak to that heart this morning of one that might be here who does not know Christ the Savior. God, I pray you give that person just what they need to let someone take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, and I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you, but I want to pray for you specifically. If you're here this morning and you just be honest with yourself, no one looking around, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that if you die, you go to heaven, will you slip up your hand and let me pray for you? No one's going to look around. Will you slip up your hands this morning so I can pray for you? I want to pray for you in particular. If you're here this morning and you're not for sure, no one else is looking around but me. Just be honest with God. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to come and try. You can put that hand up. You can put it up. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. Anyone here like that this morning is not 100% sure. If they die, they go to heaven. Anyone like that this morning? Amen. I see that hand. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to admit that we need help. But you're in the right place to get that help. Anyone else would join that one person so far that slipped up their hand? Anyone else? Anyone else would join that person this morning? I'm not trying to guilt you into doing that. I just want to give you the opportunity because we're going to move on. Because it's not my desire to pressure anybody to do anything. But I just simply want to pray for you. Anybody like that? Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else want to join those two? Anyone else? All right. Maybe here this morning. And you need a good church home. The invitation is open to that as well. Maybe you do know Christ the Savior. Maybe you've never been scripturally baptized. Maybe you're not a member of a good fundamental Bible-believing church. Maybe you need to find a good church home to be a part of. We'll allow you to do that as well. We're going to pray for you in that regard. We're going to ask y'all to stand at your feet. Everyone stand at your feet. We're going to have our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And while you're standing, I'm going to pray for those two that raised their hand, that God would give them just what they need. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. You know, Lord, as many that are here in this auditorium this morning, you know each heart, you know each life. And I'm just so thankful for this one that would, or two that would slip up their hands not being sure of their place in heaven for all eternity. I just pray this morning, God, for that person that you work in a special way. And God, I pray this morning that you give them the courage to let someone take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. It's good to recognize it, but it's even greater to get it taken care of, that matter. And maybe you're here and you raise your hand. If you would like, no one's looking around, heads bowed and eyes are closed. You raise your hand this morning, you're serious about it. You look at me. No one's looking, you look at me. You want somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We have somebody slip out with you and take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We'd like to do that. We're not going to force you to do it. But I pray that you will. Other person that raised their hand, if you're not sure this morning, let someone take the Bible. You know, pride is going to keep a lot of people from going to heaven. But we have to humble ourselves because each one of us here this morning has got a testimony of doing and sitting right where you are and being in the same condition. Humbled ourselves and came to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I want Christ to save me. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Comes. Maybe God's just spoken your heart about being a witness and a good testimony. Because, you know, if anyone's going to make a difference, it's going to be a person's life that's truly been changed by the blood of the Lamb. Maybe you haven't been a witness the way that you ought to for somebody that does know Christ. Maybe you need to ask God to work in that life too. And I pray, dear God, that none of us will be or continue to be in that situation. Whatever your need is, you come to an old-fashioned altar and you can do business with God. But if no one else comes, we're going to close the invitation this morning. Thank you all for your attentiveness this morning. I pray again that
We don't run you off, and you do come back and visit with us. If you're visiting, you haven't been here before, our pastor would certainly love to meet you and greet you. So you do come back next Sunday. It's going to be a special day. We're going to recognize friends and family, and we are going to give some gift certificates to those names that will be drawn out of the box for their first time visiting with us. So you'll be back here for that. Tonight we're going to try to take another step in another area of scripture that we've been looking at in 1 Peter tonight, if I don't change my mind about finishing up some more of this area because we didn't get completely done with it. But amen. God did what he needed to do this morning, and we'll see what he'll do tonight. And we praise God for y'all being here. Amen. I'm going to have Brother Serge, if he would, make his way up here to pray for our service and close us in prayer, that God would go with us. Amen.